Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Couldn't celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ without reading the account of it. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had departed, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not." But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning for this time of the year, when it should be foremost in our minds, and Lord, trust that it is, the fact that you had to make the greatest sacrifice that was ever made, for the blood of goats and bulls could never have taken away our sin. And Lord, you had to come and become our kinsman redeemer, take upon yourself the form of a man, and Lord, suffer all those things that your enemies would have visited upon you. And Lord, as we think of your birth, Lord, naturally our thoughts are drawn to the crucifixion, your burial, and your resurrection. And Lord, as we think on these things, Lord, help us to understand that it was because before time ever began, you saw each and every one of us. And Lord, you did what you did to redeem us. And Lord, help us to be thankful and mindful of that as the world engages in their seasonal revelries. Lord, help us to set our mind upon spiritual things. And Lord, to be like those wise men and be exceeding glad and filled with great joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, it's kind of like they say there are two kinds of people in this world. But actually, there are three kinds of people in this world. There are those that are ambassadors and disciples of the devil. There's a great multitude that stand in the valley of decision. And there are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we start thinking about that, let's turn our attention once again to what Matthew tells us in the second chapter here concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and how it was received by the three classes of people that I mentioned. For you see, there's a dark face of Christmas and there's a bright face of Christmas. And this is the time of the year where a lot of people, even though they're ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of our flesh nature, tend to forget who we are and celebrate the holidays. And by the way, when somebody does say happy holiday to you, ask them, well, which holy day are you referring to? For there are two. The holy day on which we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there's that pagan holy day of New Year's. So, which one are you talking about? I think that's a good question. Don't you think so? The disciples of the devil have their holiday, and the disciples of the Lord have their holy day. And we Christians ought not to mix them up. Amen? Okay. Two faces or attitudes concerning the Christmas season. Now, let's not forget that third class of people that I talked about, the multitudes and multitudes, as the scripture puts it, in the valley of decision. They're looking around wondering. You know, an ambassador represents a government. The devil's ambassadors represent him with all their hearts. If only we were as diligent as the religionists of this world, it'd be a wonderful thing. There's this pagan spirit that surrounded Christmas. And you know, it hasn't been that many years ago that people used to bemoan the fact that Christmas had been commercialized. Do you even hear that anymore? We've reached a state of spiritual insensibility in this country where people don't even consider the fact that Christmas means anything other than carnival. That's all that it's become, a season of revelry. Two faces of Christmas. Let's go back to chapter 2 then and look at that dark face of Christmas in verse number 3 and following. Not everybody was happy at the appearance of those wise men. Verse number 3, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And not just he, but all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they say unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That was not good news for Herod. Now, in our Sunday school class this morning, we talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and how they sent a contingent to the Lord Jesus Christ and demanded that they should see a sign from heaven. Well, here we are. We've got a sign from heaven here, wise men coming from the east and asking Herod, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? These wise men weren't very politically correct, were they, going in and asking the king where the real king was? What have you done with the real king? But they were honest. They were honest. If we want to know where the real king is, let's go ask the usurper first. Well, they did. And the thing that I want you to notice here is how that, in verse number 2, the scribes and the chief priests and Herod the king had united themselves together in a religious cause. And by the way, things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. I kind of left a little question hanging this morning that somebody's already asked me about from the Sunday school lesson. I posed a question. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and asked Jesus for a sign from heaven, why didn't he give it to them? And how did they have the confidence to know that he wouldn't? Well, here's their answer right here. They knew exactly who he was. Did the devil have any question about who to take into the wilderness and tempt? Did the devil have any question about who Jesus Christ was? If thou be the Son of God, he knew very well who he was. He knows very well who he is. He stands in front of his throne to accuse you and I every day of the world. Do you think that the devil's disciples don't know who Jehovah God is? You know, sometimes we Christians get really fuzzy-headed with this politically correct, we're okay, they're okay kind of thing. And we don't want to recognize evil when we stare into the face of it, and if we're not careful, we end up supporting it. Do you think that I believe for one moment that most politicians are who they say they are? Concerning spiritual matters? When they're running for office, they're all Christians. They're all fundamentalists. But what do they do after they're there? And who put them there? What a lack of discernment people have today. What a lack of discernment they had in these days. In those days, when Jesus took upon himself the robe of human flesh, nothing's changed. There are still multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. We had so much fun when Bill Clinton was in office. Don't you miss those days? Those were the good old days. Didn't take very long before you couldn't find anybody that voted for him. How did he win the election? The dark face of Christmas. What's the worst thing that can happen to an ambassador? That's a good question. The worst thing that can happen to an ambassador is that he would be co-opted. He's supposed to represent one government, but he ends up representing the government that he's sent to. Is he an ambassador of the government that sent him anymore? He'd say that he is. He'd bring forth strong protests. If you say that he'd gone over into the enemy camp, but Christians do it all the time. How do I know? Well, because I've been guilty of it myself. Giving aid and comfort to the enemy, warming my hands at the enemy's fire. Now, I know that none of you have ever been in a place like that. But it could happen. And that's what the warning is here. Here's Herod. Do you realize that Herod was popular with the religious people in the country? The Pharisees and the Sadducees all supported him. And most of the people in the nation of Israel said he's okay, I guess. And what is he attempting to do? The dark face of Christmas. Look at this, verse number 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, as well he should have been. He was a usurper, and he knew he was a usurper. He's a disciple of the prince and the power of the air. And I know somebody would say, how do you know that he was that bad? Well, don't you know that he murdered his wife and two of his children? And then he goes forth and murders all of the children from 2 years old and under? I know most of us would like to worship Ronald Reagan. I know. Every generation has to have an iconoclast. Do you realize that Ronald Reagan, with a stroke of the executive pen, could have stopped abortion in this country? Do you realize that Ronald Reagan could have told the Supreme Court that when they can raise an army, they could overrule him? Wish I'd have been around in the days of Andy Jackson. He told the Supreme Court what they could do with their rulings. Bill Clinton was thumping his Bible as he was seen going into a Baptist church after Monica Gate, wasn't he? Whole lot of soft-headed people voted for him, too. Religion is always on the wrong side. But Herod wasn't a Pharisee, you'd say. No, but he was ruling by their consent. Herod wasn't a Sadducee, you'd say. No, but he was ruling by their consent, and he had a bunch of toadies from both of their parties in the Sanhedrin. Were they ambassadors of Christ, or were they ambassadors of the God of this world? I'll leave it for you to figure out. They proved who they were. How do we know they colluded with him? Well, look at verse number 5. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Isn't that tad about the saying, go get him? It's kind of inconvenient that he showed up on our watch. It's too bad that Christians view this world as being a whole lot brighter and spiritual than it really is. This world is a dark jungle of sin and depravity, and it's ruled over by the prince and the power of the air, but his time is limited. When we look into the face of Herod, we see one side of things. Oh, well, it's not like that today. It's not. It's not. Somebody was telling me just a moment ago that they had met a female Episcopalian minister and asked them some questions about the Bible and got a frank admission, I don't know anything about the Bible. Oh, well, that just must be an anomaly. Oh, really? Oh, really? I was with a preacher years ago. This is like nearly 30 years ago. And he and I knocked on the door of a couple of Presbyterian preachers. And I asked them, "Are you guys born again?" All dressed up with that garb that they wear. Big old necklaces hanging around their necks that were so ugly I wouldn't have chained my dog up with them, but they seemed to have liked them. And one of them looks at me with a quizzical look on his face and said, "Decode." I knew we had some live ones then. "Decode? As in, what on earth are you talking about? We don't have a clue what you're talking about." Well, over the next several minutes, they were much enlightened and enraged. "Who are you to tell us about our religion? Things haven't changed much. It's just the same today as it was in the days when Jesus was born. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." It's kind of hard for us as Christians in this day and age, I think, to choose up sides. It just isn't politically correct to choose up sides. It just isn't politically correct to say that right is right and wrong is wrong and there ain't nothing in the middle. Now, it's just that simple. What would you have thought of an ambassador in 1941 to the Empire of Japan saying, "You guys are okay. We're okay, you're okay"? You know, that's what it comes down to. You gotta choose up sides. You're either on one side or you're on the other. There isn't anything in the middle. You got to admire Herod, because at least he knew what side he was on. Say amen, somebody! Amen. The wicked of this world are not bashful to tell you who they are. Dark face. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Since we're into politically correct, I know just where to go when I want to read Scripture. The "I'm okay, you're okay" crowd. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, Peter was pretty politically correct. That's why he says the following: "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Not swift enough as far as I'm concerned. But hell hasn't altered 1 degree in temperature lately. There's no global warming or cooling going on there. "We understand there were false prophets among the Jews, but what about us?" Oh, but it's Christmas. Can't we all just get along? No, because that's not what the spirit of Christmas is. You're either on one side or on the other. You're the bright face or the dark face. It's time to make up our minds. How long will be halt between two opinions? The devil's disciples aren't halt. Look at verse number 2. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Is this a good time to bring up Rick Warren? Leave Rick alone. Because there's verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And you think the Bible left out Benny Hinn? Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be received unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, semicolon, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto them that after should live ungodly, semicolon, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Lot around. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was politically correct. I'm okay, you're okay. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, most of them in government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Does it sound to me like Peter took sides? Took him a while, didn't he? This is the guy that was warming his hands by the fire of the enemy not long before. I think he figured a few things out. I think it's time for Christians to figure a few things out today. The dark face of Christmas. Is God politically correct? Well, what about the bright face? Wish I'd saved more time for the bright face. Why is it the preachers are always so negative? Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and verse number 26. Luke also gives an account of the birth of our Lord. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She could have said decode too, couldn't she? Let's look into the face of Gabriel just for a moment. Let's think about this. Gabriel is a created being, just like Adam, just like all the sons of Adam and daughter of Eve. He was a created being. He came along pretty late in the scheme of things because there was all eternity before he was created. That's a long time. He wasn't there when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had their meeting wherein the everlasting covenant was brought forth. And when we're talking about eternity, how are you going to pin a time down? There is no such thing as time, but there was a covenant. And that covenant was that Jesus Christ should create all things. The Son of God and God the Son, eternally co-equal with Jehovah God, the Father and the Spirit. But you see, when it came to the creation, they kind of split the workload up, if I could put it that way. The Father, in His place as the Father, commissioned the Son to create everything that was. That included Gabriel. Did He create the creation because He knew He was going to create Gabriel so that He could come and talk about the birth of His Son? No. Don't you know that the purpose of the creation was you? Little, old, you. Now, I don't know if we got global warming or global cooling, and I don't know how long it's going to be before the sun burns out, but I can tell you this, that there is a globe, and there is climate, and there is a sun, and there is a universe, because it all has one purpose. You. Now, if anything should help us choose up sides, maybe thinking about this should. You weren't created so that Gabriel could come and make an announcement. Gabriel was created because the time was going to come that the Lord Jesus Christ, who made everything, was going to become one of us to redeem us to God out of every nation and people and tongue. Now, Gabriel discovered that after he was created. But think of the awe. Angels who are mightier than we just appeared out of nowhere. Poof! There he was to make the announcement. And he didn't make up the announcement on his own. He was sent specifically by God to make this announcement. And you know, the scripture says that angels diligently look into things concerning salvation because they are so filled with reverential awe that they don't quite get it. They don't quite get it. They stand before the throne of God 24/7. Never leave it. Except when they're sent on missions. Think of this. They behold the holiness of Jehovah God, and then they look at us and they wonder, are they what this is all about? You as a Christian should know more about the love of God than any angel if you're redeemed. They've never been where you are. And yet they took sides, didn't they? Gabriel knew exactly whose side he was on. And then let's look into the face of Zacharias. Look at verse number 18. Luke chapter 1. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Do you think that Gabriel knew what Zacharias was going to say? I don't think he did. I think he was a little bit taken aback. You see, angels aren't omniscient like God. God knew what he was going to say. What would Gabriel's reaction to this? Huh? What? Because Zacharias looked at him and said, decode. Isn't God good? Was Zacharias saved? Doubtless. Doubtless. Look at verse number 46. Still in Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He showeth strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The song of Mary. And yet this is the same Mary that had to treasure up things and hide them in her heart. That same Mary who would have a sword pierced through her own soul also. She had her moments of doubt, didn't she? They have no wine. Woman, what am I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And yet nonetheless, turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25 and we'll be through. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thine words, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser, and she was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him unto all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Which face of Christmas do you want to be? Here's Gabriel that brought the message, and he's a bit nonplussed, not understanding salvation, because he'd never been lost. And there's Zacharias wondering, what in the world does all of this mean? What's going on here? Guess he hadn't read the book of Malachi. And Mary herself. What does this salutation mean? This is strange. And then there's Simeon and Anna. That's a pretty bright face, wouldn't you say? Do you think that they were good ambassadors of God? I think we ought to start thinking this Christmas season, exactly where do we stand? This world needs us. The fields are white unto harvest. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you've given us your word. And we thank you so much that we have this season set aside where we can think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we do it, I pray, Lord, that we'll take the fact that we're ambassadors seriously and use every tool at our disposal. For Lord, this is a time when those that are in the valley of decision would tend to think about things and be more open to the gospel than they would at other times. And Lord, I pray that you'll make us bold not to be politically correct and talk about nondescript holidays, but Lord, make it clear to those around us exactly where we stand and why. Lord, give us boldness. And Lord, we also pray now that you'll bless us and comfort us, knowing that the time is drawing near when we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet and be gathered home. Dear Lord, we pray now that you'd have your will in your way. And if there'd be those that are in the valley of decision yet this morning, Lord, that they'd make up their minds. In Jesus' name, amen.